Radio Reverb.
Play some Brighton.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and Radio Reverb online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. My name is Josh, and Carl Stewart and I will be guiding you through the next 60 minutes. On today's show, we have a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some of their events. This week we'll be talking to Glenn and Mark about the upcoming World AIDS Day events. Do contact us on the hivhour@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter on hiv_hour. If you missed the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, you can listen again on Monday at 4 p.m. and Tuesday at noon. Or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com. Hello.
Hi, hi. How's everyone?
Good. That's fine, yes. How are you?
We're an all-boy crew today.
Yes, we are. Sue's not here
Sue's
today,
not here today, so Sue's out and about, helping with, as we know, it's HIV testing week this week.
A very busy week.
A very busy week for everybody dealing with tests in clinics and stuff, so Sue's helping out. So we've got Stuart. Hello, Stuart.
Hiya.
What have you been up to, Josh? Anything interesting this week?
I had a couple of weeks off, actually, so that's probably why I'm a bit rusty on the
opening.
On the
opening
scene, but we're just going to edit that out.
Excellent. But you've had a good week, though?
Yeah, not too bad. Just had a quiet week. Yeah, I'll be back. Yeah, I always say this every week, don't I? I always say, yeah, not much going on.
Plodding along, I always tell people. Wrapping
myself up.
It's gone colder, yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Been doing some talks this week with Sue.
Oh,
in some of the schools as well. So we've got the run-up to World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
So a lot of the schools do ask us to go in for this particular period of the year. So it's really busy, and we're going to get busier as well as the run-up to World AIDS Day comes along.
It's a busy old time.
So, obviously with HIV testing week, I hope everyone is going out there and is testing and retesting. If you've already been tested before in the last 6 months, we just try and urge people as possible to test.
Yes. So we're going to have a song. What's the song coming up?
Yeah, the song is
Depeche Mode, isn't it?
Is Depeche Mode, yeah. A really cool song.
I think Stuart chose this to walk in
my
shoes.
Yeah. Try walking in my shoes.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour. I'm with Colin Stewart. And also in the studio is Romany Mark Bruce and Glenn Stevens. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So you've come on to talk about the upcoming Brighton Vigil, the Candlelit Vigil, and also what's going on at the Jubilee Library. So Romany, can you tell us what's going on?
Well, at the library, the part that I'm involved in is I have produced a limited edition of 12 miniature tays of the Brighton and AIDS Memorial, and one will be exhibited in the library. They're not replicas of the original large sculpture. They're miniatures that I sculpted a miniature at the Foundry when the AIDS Memorial was being cast.
Okay.
So far we've raised, the first three editions, £3,000 for the Sussex Beacon. And number 2 of 10 I've donated to the Rainbow Fund in memory of James Ledward.
Oh, fabulous. So how did you get involved with the memorial? And because
I was stopped in the street by a man I had no idea who he was, who pointed a finger at me and said, "I know who you are, I want a word with you." And I was slightly concerned. And it turned out to be James Ledward, and he wanted somebody local and gay to enter the competition. It was went to a public vote. And he was concerned that there were commercial organisations were entering. But I had no idea that it was going on. I wasn't reading G-Scene at the time, it would appear. So I had a very short time to come up with a design of a week.
It was about 10 days, wasn't it?
It was, yes. And I was in Italy at the time, in Pietrasanta, where they carve all the Carrara marble. So I had great inspiration. So that's how I got involved, by chance, I feel.
Yeah. And so the inspiration for the sculpture is from Italy?
It came from partly sculptures that I had done in the past. It's it was supposed to reflect the AIDS ribbon, and in my head the sun would shine and create a shadow of the ribbon on the grass, and I'm not sure if anybody's ever checked that, but it wasn't my proposal.
So one of the statues is male and one is genderless, that's right?
That's correct, yes.
That's quite an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I thought that was important at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, Glenn, the Jubilee Library are holding a lot of events coming up. When does that start?
So, this Sunday coming, we've got a film showing. Because of licensing, we can't say what the film is, but if you go onto Jubilee website or phone with Jubilee, you better have that. Yeah. Then we're showing a film which David Frey has put together with the making of Tay, as it's the 10-year anniversary.
Yes.
You can go to Jubilee or a selection of the branch libraries also be showing the film. We've got the hanky quilt, which was from the original quilt from America.
Right.
It's just a small one, it's obviously hanky.
Yeah.
So it can be displayed in the window. On World AIDS Day, we have a selection of people coming in talking about being HIV positive today. What that means. Is
Sue's coming in, I think, isn't she? Sue Fox, Sue?
Yeah, Sue's coming. We've got other people too. And also on that day, we've got another film showing on Sunday at 1:30.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what we're doing.
So there's lots of events going on, and that starts on Sunday, does it?
On the Sunday, the 25th.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's good to put all of this kind of work into perspective. We are commemorating many thousands and millions of people that have lost their lives to HIV and AIDS throughout the past 30 years. And it is quite emotional for me on December the 1st to go round the statue at the top of St James's Street, and everybody comes round, all the candle lights, the mood is nice and subdued, and it is just such a beautiful way of commemorating so many people that have lost their lives.
Yes, absolutely.
And also to look forward as well for HIV and AIDS as well, where we want to look forward to a better future for HIV. And having memorials like this, December the 1st, where everybody comes out as much as they can, wear their red ribbons, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful kind of feeling,
yes,
in a strange way, because we commemorate the people that have lost their lives.
Yeah.
So it's really important work that we're looking at here today.
Yeah. I've only been going a couple of years, but last year I did the some of the people's names, and that's a very powerful thing to do, I think.
So just to explain about that for the listeners, what happens?
Well, you have a list of five names who have died, unfortunately, of AIDS, and
it's in Sussex, in the Brighton area.
Yeah. And you just go up and you just say the names and just get that out.
A remembrance.
It's very emotional. Yeah. Very emotional. And so it's good.
Yeah,
nice.
And going back to Glenn, the Living Library. So that is something that you've done. Is this the first year?
This is the first year we've done it. Yeah. Last year it was quite absent from the library, and so I approached Gary from Lunch Positive to see what I could do to get the word out more. And I was told about the AIDS Collective, so all the organisations who come together this time of year to get the word out. And it was particularly important because when I spoke to my colleagues at work about World AIDS Day, they're saying, when is that? And so it's only with your been affected by HIV and AIDS that you really do know when World AIDS Day is. It's kind of like with any other kind of event. So it's been brilliant that we've got it in the libraries and we've got it in the branch libraries as well. So for people who maybe think that AIDS has gone away or it's no longer an issue, when the issues have changed, of course, as people living longer, there's different different things that can affect people.
And it's also good to remember as well, isn't it? Remembering as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly that.
Yeah. So, Mark, you've got we're playing one of your tracks that you were apparently listening to in the car today.
Yes, it just says a lot about where I am today and my plans for the future, but they're secret for now.
And what's the track? Can you remember?
Rebecca Ferguson, Run Free. I'm going to run free.
Fine.
HIV Hour, RadioReverb.com and 97.2 FM. That's where Rebecca Ferguson, that's quite a cool song.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
so we are here in the studio today with Glenn and Romany, talking about fantastic projects that they're really are really taking shape, especially this time of year as well, for remembrance for December the 1st. World AIDS Day. So, Romany, if it's all right, I want to pick up on a few things that we want to discuss, and it's about the Rainbow Fund, actually. The show HIV Hour is... we get some funding from the Rainbow Fund, and I believe you've got some dealings with the Rainbow Fund as well.
I do. Well, the Rainbow Fund was set up on the back of the memorial. When I put my proposal in, it was for a memorial that was about 5 feet high. And then so much money came in, but public contributions, that it was able to get bigger and bigger, and I wanted it to be something soaring and positive. And then when it was on, after it was unveiled, we realised we had so much money that the Rainbow Fund was set up on the back of it. So it's a rather nice legacy that James Ledward is responsible for.
Yeah. Still sends shivers down my spine that James Ledward is still a crazy situation, but it's great that we can remember him this year as well.
What does Tay stand for? Because I was a bit confused about that.
Tay, I had I was told that I needed to be very careful about naming the memorial, because often what happens with modern sculptures that they're given get given some very inappropriate name and rude name. And so when I was sculpting it in the middle of the countryside, sitting at the river, and decided to call it after my best friend and soulmate Paul Tay, who had died of AIDS in the early 1990s, and so I was very pleased to be able to commemorate him.
Yes,
and I still find it difficult to mention his name.
Right? Yeah. Remembering things and bringing it back, and it's just how tall is the statue?
It's 16 feet high.
So considering that's what your original design was, 5 foot, and and then just
it grew and collapsed on me after 3 months. So that was half a ton of clay around me.
Right.
But yes, and it's hard to work once you get over shoulder height. But
right.
It was great fun.
And we're in this situation where we're gay guys. We know just in case anyone didn't know.
It's a shock, I'm shocked.
We know where the statue is, but if anyone hasn't seen it in Brighton, please go along and see it, because it is just where it's situated, and you can look directly in front of the seafront.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Just stunning, absolutely stunning.
So Steen Gardens,
if you haven't seen it, Steen Gardens, at the top of St James's Street, and we'll have the visual there on December the 1st as well.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I can see that from my balcony.
Oh, okay.
I can just look out my balcony. I can see the new Steen Gardens. I've got it right there. So,
nice.
Yeah.
But you could have worried with the seagulls there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
I bet they see it all the time. So, Glenn, tell us a bit about you've been in Brighton a long time, haven't you?
I moved down here when I was 20.
Right. 10 years ago, was that?
Yeah.
A bit more.
So I moved down Brighton. When I was, it was a month after my 23rd birthday, I was diagnosed with HIV.
Okay.
I'd gone to see my doctor, and it was totally unexpected. I really didn't think that was going to happen. And I was then directed to the clinic, which is now the Lawson unit, and was particularly bothered because there was no medication or anything. I was told to make the next 6 years count, 6 months count, because people just died, and that was the case. There's at least once a month you would hear about someone you knew or someone on the scene had died, and so it was quite scary for me. Then when I was 30, I got an AIDS diagnosis. I had a Kaposi sarcoma.
Right.
And so I thought that was it. I made my farewells to everybody. But around that time, thankfully, that the AZT and the antiretrovirals were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was put on those. That saved my life.
We owe a lot to the medication, because in the 80s and 90s, like you say, when you first diagnosed, you saw people passing away around you, and we just didn't have that technology and the strength of the medication that we needed. It must be great for you to have seen that and come through it on the other side. long time. Do you mind me asking how long you've been diagnosed?
Yes, it'd be 31 years now. 31 years
I mean,
now.
That has also sent a shiver down my spine. Yeah. That's amazing.
It is.
I don't know. I think we get complacent sometimes that, you know, HIV in the 90s was, you know, it was diabolical and wasn't handled very well. But and then you speak to someone like yourself, Glenn, who has come through it on the other side, yeah. 31 years.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. It is amazing. I mean, at the time, just before then, they were experimenting with medication. So AZT was the main drug, but like, we were just guinea pigs, really. Yeah. We were being, but it was worthwhile. I mean, some people didn't do well with the medication, and that killed them off. So it was a really scary time. About like, do you take the meds? Don't you take the meds? But I'm so glad that the meds were there, and I'm here today.
Yeah.
AZT was quite a horrendous drug, wasn't it? But I remember, I mean, I've been positive 20 years now myself, but I do remember people going on AZT and just having a really terrible time with it. Yeah. You don't really see much of it about these days, do you?
So. No, but like it was the only thing available. Yeah, and at the time we were desperate for something to cure us the other option was death.
Totally. How much has changed, eh?
I watched Philadelphia the other week, and that was set in the 93 it was made, and that's quite harrowing to watch.
That was before ARV, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very harrowing to watch what people went through, things like this, days like this, December the 1st, are just good things to remember and
absolutely
these times.
Yeah.
And how lucky we are now.
And I'm pleased that a lot of the focus now is on stigma.
Yes.
Because that's something that's been ignored. I think while the medication's been sorted out, stigma's been ignored, and that's something that I'm pleased, because it was only much later on that I processed that I had never shared with anyone how my friend Paul Tay had died.
Right.
And this only came out a few years ago when I was being interviewed for a documentary, that it's something I'd just never, ever shared, even with my closest friends in Brighton. I realised they didn't know why he had died. I just locked it up.
And we
can talk about HIV now in an open way. It feels a little bit easier. I think we're lucky, I think, in Sussex, in Brighton.
Not everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. I can imagine in some rural parts of England, they're not as open as we are here.
Yeah.
So we are quite at the forefront of tackling stigma as much as possible. Yeah. And helping tackle that is the Living Library, which is great, which comes from personal stories, from personal people that are actually living with the virus and are doing well. There's a fine line, isn't there, by saying, yes, I'm living well with HIV.
And ignoring
it. So, you know, coming out and talking about it is probably one of the best things we can do to tackle stigma against it.
Absolutely. So we're coming to the end of the interview. So you just go over what people can do at the library when it's on again, just to refresh.
Okay, so it starts next Sunday, the 25th. We've got a film showing. Like I say, go to the Jubilee website, be able to find out what's on there. We'll be showing a film of Tay, the creation of that, what Romany made, and the process and everything, and the interviews with him. On World AIDS Day, we've got the Living Library, so people talking about being positive, and another film showing. Also, there's the Martin Fisher bus will be outside the Theatre Royal on that day, so promoting that as well.
Fantastic. And Mark, on the 1st at the Steen Gardens?
Yes, well, there'll be the candlelit vigil on the 1st at the Steen Gardens, but more importantly, if anybody would like to bid on the miniature of Tay, it's 50 centimetres high, made from aluminium resin mounted on lead resin, and it's to, as I've already said, it's to raise money for the James Ledward Memorial, the Rainbow Fund, and if they contact the Rainbow Fund, they'll tell them how to bid for it.
That's a good cause, definitely.
Yeah, great.
So, Glenn, you've got a track that you want to play?
I have, yes. Yeah. So it'll be Tom Grennan's "I Found What I've Been Looking For."
Does that mean anything to you, Glenn?
I think the title says it's itself, really.
It does. Let's listen to it. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
Well, that was a good little interview, wasn't it?
It was great,
with two great guys. doing some really important work around Brighton. And I think, you know, I always do want to go back to that kind of thing where in Brighton we are at the forefront of a lot, because there are a lot of people living with HIV in a very tight area in Brighton and Hove. And unfortunately, it's not something to brag about, but we do hold the most figures outside of London for people living with HIV.
And we've got those good services as well.
Probably the best supported as well in Brighton. We're quite spoiled in Brighton, aren't we, really?
I think
thankfully we've got some.
But, you know, last week, actually Romney mentioned it there about stigma. Stigma is one of the biggest things that anyone living with HIV will have to go through. Not everybody deals with stigma, but unfortunately, whether it's directly or indirectly, stigma is out there. And I remember last week we talked about a girl who wanted a massage and she got refused it, and it was quite strange actually reading
that story.
But this week, doing a bit of news about HIV across the pond is another lawsuit, and it was to do with a guy who was working in a restaurant, and he divulged the information to a colleague, and then the colleague divulged the information about he was living with HIV to a manager. He then got moved to another restaurant because they didn't want him serving food. And it's really weird because there's a little caveat on the story that I'm reading, and it says, to be clear, you can't get HIV from eating food handled by someone who's
HIV positive.
I know,
or
I know. 19. And this was in November 2019. This is this month.
It's quite interesting.
So, he was then moved to a different restaurant in Kansas. And then they found out he was HIV, and then they found a reason to sack him, and then unfortunately sacked him. How they did that was they implemented extra shifts for him that he could not meet. And when he started saying no to the extra shifts, they said, well, if that's the case, then we're going to have to let you go. But the roundabout circle is, I can imagine it wasn't about the shifts. I can imagine it was about being passed from pillar to post, living with HIV. Yeah. So he has taken them to court, and the lawsuit is still ongoing. Right. So we will look into that again. But it does make you think.
I think it's interesting that there's massage and there's the restaurants, and it's all so services, different kinds of things. Yeah, because I think a few months ago we looked into like tattooing as well, and some people have had issues with tattoo parlours and stuff. So it's across the board, it's different. It is like a service.
You
area,
do forget, don't you, actually, how prevalent it is, stigma and stuff. I mean, you talk about it so freely now, living in Brighton, that you do kind of forget a little bit what the rest of the country has to go through and the rest of the world, actually, for that matter.
I think it's fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of it's fear.
Yeah.
Well, it always comes from a place of not knowing something. So if you don't know something, you know. I was the same. I didn't know anything about HIV before I was diagnosed, and assumed that it was going to take my life away, and I was going to have a bad quality of life. But that isn't the case. And I think what you just said there, Stuart, about some places in the UK lag behind, and you know, here we don't.
I suppose if it's not affecting you, if it's not in your world, then why would you know? And so then when if it comes up like that, then obviously you have all these feelings come up, and maybe
you never know. You could be in a massage parlour or wherever it is, and someone's giving you a service, and the last thing they may have watched is something like Philadelphia something like that. Oh gosh, he's living with HIV, and I think that as much as the media plays an interesting part in the way that HIV is portrayed and so on, we do have to understand that it comes from a place of not knowing. So, you know, stigma is there, and we are here, Radio Reverb, to sort of HIV Hour, to sort of break down that stigma.
And that's why
we do get funded by people like the Rainbow Fund.
Thank goodness. Yeah, still a long way to go, isn't there? But
But as you keep battling through and keep going and keep saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's lots of good work being done now.
Yeah.
But yeah, still a way to go.
So I'm going to just introduce a song now, and it's called
song.
The Power, and it's by Duke Dumont.
Fabulous. Can you feel the power?
I can.
Yeah, I think we all can. Yeah, that was a nice little poppy vocal house.
I like Duke DeMont.
Yeah, they're really good. Really good. So I just want to say to the listeners, really, if anyone out there would like to get in touch with the show, then please do. We're on Twitter at Radio Reverb, and we're on Facebook, Radio Reverb as well. www.radioreverb.com, and there's many ways to get in touch with the show that way. You can either put a request in for a song or a subject that you would like us to tackle and look at.
Or want to come on the show.
Or even want to come on the show.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So last week you were talking about HIV testing week, which is amazing, powerful, because I wasn't here last week, as I said, but it was a very powerful show, I thought. It was amazing. And also with Gareth Thomas, he's done some interviews, hasn't he, with the Prince Harry, and I thought it would be good to just have a listen to.
Yeah, I think it's really important, this. It's been all over the news, and it's something that is actually going to be quite powerful.
Yeah, and I think it's good at having those prominent figures just talking openly about it.
Yeah.
Shall we have a listen?
Yeah. I was fearful of being tested positive, but I was fearful because I didn't understand what being tested positive means. Yeah. When I learned about what tested positive means, and when I learned that undetectable is untransferable, and the quicker I get on medication, the quicker I'm no longer a risk, the quicker I could get my life back on track. Yeah. And that means now I live an amazing life with a husband who's HIV negative, mm-hmm. and I know for a fact I am no risk to him. You know, what we're trying to do now is destigmatize so many things and stop frightening people. And AIDS is a frightening word. Yeah. Like HIV is we're trying
to... It's a virus. But it is, it's crazy how it's a virus like many other viruses. You know, it can kill you. But if you get tested early, then you are on medication and you can live a healthy, happy life and look relatively good looking even after a career rugby.
Relatively, less than that. Relatively, after a bit of work. But yeah, you know, for me, it's realizing that stigma is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Stigma is out there. But the way of breaking stigma yourself is sometimes by looking at other people who have inspired or done things, mm-hmm. but actually learning about what it means to live with HIV now. Mm-hmm. We need to re-educate people to know that where we are now with HIV, it's not a death sentence. Mm-hmm. It's not. And I'm living proof. I would never have done an Ironman if I didn't live with HIV. Mm-hmm. Living with HIV and realizing how I could live my life gave me a renewed look on life. Yep. I meant that every day.
And to reach a new potential.
Mate, yeah, and I haven't even reached it. You know, let's not pretend, right, that being told you're HIV, it's a difficult thing to take, right? And I went, because I didn't have the education, when I was told I had HIV, I thought I was going to die. And sometimes you kind of need to know what it's like to die to know what it's really like to live. And I'll never forget that moment because it gives me the inspiration to live my life to the maximum every single day. But also it gives me the inspiration to make sure that other people who are told that news realise that actually they can have a life.
We've got HIV testing week. What is the advice that you would give to anybody out there that is being controlled by fear?
Some of my friends would not even consider having an HIV test because they weren't part of them communities. And I think, you know, being here at a rugby ground, being here with you is a case of people realising everybody needs to know their status.
And even more so, I guess, those that aren't in the at-risk groups, because then we can normalise testing and make it easier for those that are fearful, that are scared,
of course,
understandably to come forward.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we do so much around like our health, you know, we'll go to the dentist, we'll go to the doctors, we look after ourselves. When it comes to sexual health testing, for some reason there's this stigma and there's fear about it. Yeah. And there shouldn't be. And the more people that do it, the more normal it becomes. Then the more, I say, everybody from every walk of life, every community will do it.
But I believe in what you're doing. It's amazing.
Top man. Led.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's great because Prince Harry actually made a personal phone call to him.
Oh, did he? Right.
As soon as he found out he was HIV and out in the newspapers, Prince Harry picked up the phone and just gave him a call and said, do you want to hook up for a chat? And I mean, What a way to get a conversation started.
Just great exposure, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the rugby player stuff, I think. That's why it was all out.
I know, yeah, they're on the, obviously on the rugby pitch.
they weren't tussling themselves.
No,
is that what you call it, tussling?
Can you imagine?
Do you tussle on the rugby pitch? I don't think you do.
No, I think you tussle. No, tackle.
Tussle and tassel.
Anyway, let's get off that.
You tackle.
So a lot of our show this week has been about stigma.
Yeah.
And we've got even more stigma stories. And this particular story, I'm going to let you introduce this, but this is just a different way of getting your message out there, isn't it, Josh?
Yes. Yeah, so this teenage girl, she's an author now, and I think she's living in London. I think she's from America. She's written a book called Full Disclosure. So she's 19, and so she's quite young. She's done a few things in the past. Huffington Post, she's written for Time Magazine.
Yeah.
Her name is Cameron Garrett. So she's written a book about Full Disclosure, which is about a dark-skinned black teen girl who was born HIV positive, and it's grappling with keeping her secret while navigating the normal things that come with a teenage life. And she has lots of questions about sex. So Cameron says she was drawn to this topic because it's still surrounded by so much stigma and taboo, which is what we're talking about today, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it was her own ignorance about HIV that shocked her into finding out everything out about it and writing the book.
I mean, I think we've got a different angle there. All of us in the studio today are living with HIV, but we weren't born with HIV.
No.
And I can imagine that's a pretty kind of, I don't know, what age do you tell that particular child that they're living with HIV? I mean, that must have been very difficult to approach from parents and how they do it. But, you know, to actually then come full circle and actually get a book published.
And out of her ignorance, she says out of her ignorance is unbelievable.
And that comes from honesty.
Yeah, it does.
You know, telling everybody that, I'm sorry, but I didn't know anything about HIV. In fact, I was quite rude about HIV, and that's what it comes across as. And she's managed to do a lot of research and find out that actually HIV is a livable condition, and if you treat yourself well, you can live a normal life.
So she was born with it, did you say?
Yeah.
I wonder what age she was told she had the virus. So.
Well, this is the book. It's, that's, I think, right. Yeah, I don't know if it's a... I think it's just... I don't know if it's fiction or it's from some...
Yeah,
I'm not too sure.
I think she is a fictional writer, character, isn't she?
Right.
Yeah.
But she's really into Angelina Jolie.
That's right,
I think Angelina Jolie used to do archives about stuff, and the stories about Angelina Jolie adopted children. She thought that one of her daughters was HIV.
That's right.
And I think that's another reason why she got into looking into it. And
interesting.
And that is interesting.
So you know, there's all these things around that people that's there for people to read and about stigma. So it's amazing stuff.
Really, yeah, it sounds really good actually.
So.
So, Stuart,
yes, Carl,
we're going to have a song from you.
Oh,
now,
God.
What have you chosen this week? Anything?
Oh, for me, Jesus Loves You and Generations of Love.
Oh, that's a good track. Oh, that's a good song as well. Got some good songs today.
Yeah,
actually,
we've got a nice selection today.
Yeah, it's really good. Community news.
Yep.
You'd like to go first, Stuart?
Okay, yeah. Well, if you're living with HIV and you would like to gain skills and build your confidence, the Terence Higgins Trust are doing a course called Work Positive.
Okay.
Which started in September, but there's something else you can join in January. But if you want to come along and try their Taster Positive Personnel Development Taster Workshops, their workshops are designed to support you and build your skills, confidence, to meet new people and have a taste of their wider Work Positive programme. On 26th of November, Overcoming Hurdles to Work and Volunteering. There's a 28th of November, Managing Your Health and Wellbeing in the Workplace. 2nd of December, Building Self-Confidence. The 4th, Writing a Successful CV.
There's quite a few testers, but you're on the Work Positive.
If you want more information.
I'm doing the Work Positive.
This is my placement. I'm doing the Work Positive programme. I think it's great. I've just done my CV yesterday.
So is it to help kind of ease yourself back into work again.
Yeah, yeah, for people that have been out of work for a long time, probably mainly through HIV and other health reasons. Yeah. But it's been 20 years, and to find a way back in, it's a very successful course, actually. People have done really well on it, and lots of positive feedback.
Well, our Josh here.
I'm did last year.
You did last year.
Indeed, so yeah.
I endorse it 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Same as do I, yeah.
So what's contact details?
Right, just yes, again. If you want to get more information, contact Laura at the Terence Higgins Trust, and their number is 01273 764 226.
Okay.
Excellent. Now, I've got, it's not community news as such, but I think we need to be mindful of the different charities and different ways that you can get in touch and get help throughout Brighton and Hove.
Yeah.
And we've got the Switchboard. A lot of people from the LGBTQ community may have heard of Switchboard. And it's just as a reminder that if anyone does want to get in touch with Switchboard and they're having any particular problems, maybe through coming out or actually, you know, being gay or trans or bi, then Switchboard are there to take your calls and listen to you. You can contact them on 01273 234 009, and then they've also got a email address at switchboard.org.uk.
That's a good thing, isn't it? Because we all, you know, I've been through.
Great. We all struggle.
Yes, and it's good to talk about it.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's the end of the show.
Okay.
End of the show.
Oh, quick, didn't
it's been a really good show today. We've had some really interesting guests in today.
Yeah.
And it all being an all male. Show.
Testosterone is flying.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
And it was lovely to meet the sculpture of the statue.
Know,
what a privilege that was.
Know. Yeah. It's something that I didn't, you know, it's nice to know what's going on in Brighton and why it's there.
Yeah.
So we definitely would like people to go to December the 1st at the vigil next Sunday.
Yep.
And if you want to, have a listen again on our Listen Again page, please take a visit on our website and have a look at the Listen Again page. You can listen to any of the shows that we've aired out to you. Coming on next week's show, we've got more about HIV, and we've got the end of HIV testing week, which would have happened, so we're going to be talking about that as well, and we'll definitely have some really interesting stuff. If anyone wants to get in touch with the show, then please do.
I think that's really important, isn't it, to get feedback now and
feedback. We want to make sure that the listeners are getting what they want to listen to, and if it's not, it's something we can maybe add into the show as well. You can join us every Thursday from 7 p.m. and we replay the show on Mondays at 4 p.m. and Tuesdays at midday.
Yes, fabulous.
Yes. Well, so we're going to end on a song now.
It's one of yours again, isn't it? I think, yeah.
It is.
Yes, I like this song.
Yeah, I like this song. It's called Lose Control.
So it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Radio Reverb.
97.2. Radio Reverb.